Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1. Chapter 3. Oh, Gary, that table looks very barren. So you're missing Gary and Kayala and Wade.
Where's Gary?
Gary is getting ready to go to California. All right, chapter 3. Remember that it's hard to keep. I mean, I'm sorry I hate to keep reading this, but it's partly for my benefit. But these letters didn't have any chapters or verses in them. It was just a letter. And so when you read part of it, we'll see in a minute, you have to go back and see what he was talking about before, because it seems like it's in a different book or a different chapter. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul and Timothy and Silas were in Athens, and to go from Athens to Thessalonica, it's you've got to go over a mountain. So I mean, it's a big trip when you're doing it by car. I can't imagine doing it however they went. But he was worried that this new church that he had helped, that he had founded, was going off track. Apparently he had heard something. And so that's why it says when we could no longer forbear, he wanted to go, but he couldn't go, so he sent Timothy to go check on him. To establish is a word that means to strengthen the base of anything. And so what he was mainly concerned with was that this new church had maybe left or never learned the base of what Christianity is. And so from that, remember the word blaspheme is a technical word in the law, and it means to deny the foundation of something. And so he is concerned that they are moving in that direction, that they are denying the foundation. Now, what is the base? What is this base that establishes the church, that establishes what Christianity really is? Let's go to Hebrews 5, or Hebrews 6. Oh, I need Ronnie because I can't find Hebrews. I'm just kidding. Start in verse 5, chapter 10. I mean, chapter 5, verse 10. He's just described Christ as a high priest, but not after the order of Aaron, after the order of Melchizedek. And so there is something in this, what we're about to see, that you have to know what that is in order, because that's part of the base of Christianity. And so he says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation, and again, that's what we're talking about here, back in Thessalonians, this base, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So we got three things so far. We've got something about this difference between the high priest of the order of Aaron and the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And then we've got the repentance of dead works, faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. So that is the basis of Christianity. And that's what he was concerned that they had either didn't know or had fallen away from that base. Anybody understand that? Now, I hope in the Bible studies that everybody has gone through and everybody can know the basis of your faith. That should be the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. In verse 2, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And the word comfort is just, it's paracleo, which means to lie down next to and to take part of in order to comfort if necessary. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now, what afflictions is he talking about? It's if you're reading this as a chapter and just look there, you would say, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. I say, what afflictions? He didn't tell us what afflictions there were, except that you.
He does mention that it's that we are appointed to.
Well, I understand, but he doesn't say we are appointed. It doesn't say what those afflictions are, right?
Right.
That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Okay, go back down to verse 14 of chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So they had affliction by the Jews that were in Thessalonica. I mean, it was a big time affliction, and we've studied all that before in Acts 17 and elsewhere, remember? So that's what the affliction that he's talking about. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. No one wants to hear this. No one wants to know that as a believer, you are appointed, or your destiny is to suffer affliction. Nobody wants to know that. Unless maybe you do. Maybe I didn't want to know it.
Well, it's nice to know when you're going through it, but it's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, but let's look at these. Well, the word be moved is too interesting just to let go. That no man should be moved. Be moved is sino. It means to wag the tail of the dog, so that you're not moved like the tail of a dog is moved. Do you understand? and says, by flattery, and then it goes on and tells, by flattery or affliction or fawning or all of the gimmicks and tricks of men. Let's go to Matthew 11 and see something. Jesus is talking here about John the Baptist. And in verse 7, chapter 11, it says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Again, the same concept as the dog wagging his tail. Are you moved by these little dealies? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. And what this means is that, again, we're talking about that Paul sent Timothy to establish that group in Thessaloniki. That they would not be moved by anything in time and space. They wouldn't be moved by an election. They wouldn't be moved by their suffering. They wouldn't be moved by someone's response to them. They wouldn't be moved by criticism. They wouldn't be removed by, you know, their end is, it's endless. You know, Harry used to get so mad at me because I purposely wouldn't acknowledge him when he said hello to me. Because that was the thing. He wanted me to say, hi, Harry. But fortunately, at the end, he didn't want to say, hi, Ollie. But you understand how totally we are moved like the tail of a dog by what people's response is to us, or whether the weather is right, or whether there's an election or there's not. We are not to be moved by anything in time and space. And that is the effect of having the base of your faith solid. So that's, and then everything, once that happens, I mean, and the only place you can be that strong is if you are out of time and space, if you know that your life is hid with Christ on the mercy seat. And then all hell breaks loose, because everything in time and space will try to pull you off that mercy seat. So that, again, the wag the, what was that movie?
Wag the dog.
It's funny that that's what that word means. But that we be not moved by anything. We be not moved by circumstances, by lack, by abundance, by anything. And that's the blessed position to be in. Amen? So everybody got that? And the basis of being able to be in that position is that you understood these first principles and you've been apprehended by them. All right. I didn't want to talk about that. How did we get on all that? wagging the dollar. The dog.
You need to be like, more disciplined, though.
What?
You need to be more disciplined.
Yeah, right. That'll be the day. By these afflictions, okay, we'll ask our visiting Bible scholar what the word afflictions is. You remember?
What the afflictions were?
Right, in Greek, you know the Greek word for afflictions?
Oh, man, no.
It's this great word. Thlispis. Thlispis. And thlispis, affliction, it means a pressing together from by everything around you. It's when you're being pressed down and together and squeezed. And it's the word, if you had we've talked about this, but if you had a tube of toothpaste and you had a really teeny hole, just like about a pinhole size, and you're trying to squeeze the toothpaste through that pinhole, that's what thlispis is. And so we, as believers, we are appointed unto affliction because we have to be squeezed through a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. And that's the narrowness of the gate. Wide is and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But the gate that leadeth to eternal life is as small as smaller than a dot that your eye can see. And affliction, thlispis, is what squeezes us into that. Amen? The same thing is, it's interesting, the same word for affliction would be the contractions that happen when a woman is giving birth. And that's where I got the idea that time and space is just the womb for the bride of Christ. And it must go through. The bride has to go through the squeezing so that you never give breath to anything. I've never been pregnant, but I've seen it on television. But I'm sure that when you're going through those kinds of pains, that nothing in the else in the you don't know anything else in the universe. I kind of know a little bit about that, but that affliction is what we are appointed to. So, anybody wanna join up? You're full if you do, but you're dead if you don't. Amen? Got any response?
You're not a good salesman, are you?
What does that mean? You know what it means. You know that this is right?
I understand. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know that's not being preached.
It's
I'm talking about in general.
Too. Yeah, because it's it takes too much work. We don't live in a culture, in a world that wants to work hard.
We live in a world where everybody has the sense of entitlement.
Yes.
The F word is not, we can't use it here, but it's the F word, fair. This isn't fair.
Yeah.
That's what the kids used to always say to me. It's not fair.
I teach university, so I hear it all the time, every day.
Let's look at this appointed to. Let's first go to Matthew 5. I forgot I was already in Matthew. I almost went. Start it over again. The Beatitudes. I'm not going to read them all because I'll start going off on each one of them. So I'm just going to read one of them. verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now the word persecuted is the same kind of thing. It's the same word, the same concept, that you're appointed unto this. Now go to Matthew 10. We'll stay in Matthew so I don't have to embarrass your... Where'd it go? Okay. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. In other words, if somebody's bugging you because you screwed up, and you take it patiently, that's no big thing. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. It's a biggie. You don't want to do that. You want to justify yourself. You want to say, oh no.
I did good,
yeah. I washed the dishes in the morning. Shut up, Pete. For even hereunto were you called. What are you called? When you do well and suffer for it, thereunto you were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. All right. Go to 1 Peter 4. You know, I've talked about this many times. How do you know that you believe a false gospel? How do you know the gospel that you believe is not the true one? It's when you think suffering is strange. How do you think suffering is strange? You know, oh, this suffering is strange. You know, no, we're not saying that. But it's when you try to get out of it using your own talents, your own effort, your own... Or you've complained about it. That means you think suffering is strange. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but in your part he is glorified. Amen? Let's go to one last one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go back to the left.
What chapter again?
Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Well, let's just read the whole. This knoweth that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Doesn't leave anybody out. So how do you know the gospel that somebody's teaching is strange? Because they think suffering is something they're not appointed to. Amen? So I guess the big question is, does Timothy need to come and visit you to establish you in the faith? You need to understand what be these first principles of the doctrine of Christ. If you don't, talk to your Bible study teachers. Amen? Anybody else have anything? Mr. What's your name? Mr. Murray? Mr. Stilla? Any response?
It's a great simple way. I'm thinking of a friend who's been looking for healing. He's very ill, and I've talked to him about someday he and I coming down for a visit. But just trying to understand life in the middle of his physical suffering.
Amen.
The guy's got him and his wife and his family, hearts of gold, just fantastic people. So I'm as you're describing this, I'm thinking of him as well, a person who I just have the highest regard for.
It's the strangest thing that half of this crap I get into and people get mad at me and all that. They're my own fault. It's my own stupidity. But there's part of it that this is very comforting to me in the way I've lived since I've been a believer, because there's a lot of people that don't like me. Some for good reasons and some because of the gospel. Anyhow, take it, big guy.